The next 2 months were filled with frustration, anxiety, determination, and a new direction for my life. I saw my keepers about once a week in a cold room with a mediator. As each week passed, I felt like I had more strength and the shackles that they had placed on me were loosening. After my 2 months were up there was a decision made for my life that I did not know about. My bags were packed, and I was sad to leave the support system that I had come to love and lean on. This was the place on my journey where I had gained strength and come to the realization that my keepers did not have the love for me that I needed. And I was nervous with the thought of going back into my prison and wondering how would it function now. Well, Ahab was here again to transport me somewhere, and I really was not sure where. I was very quiet in the car, wondering if I was going home or to another short-term place that would fulfill my keepers. Their wish to have me, not in their world. We turned onto a beautiful piece of property with many houses sitting neighborly next to each other, amongst tons of beautiful trees blowing in the wind with a welcoming sway. More papers were signed and the introductions between the people that I was going to live with and me started to begin. I did not understand why Ahab and Jezebel refused me to go back home, but I was strangely okay with it. The journey with them ended with an embrace between me and Ahab, as if we were telling each other that we were starting a new journey without each other, and it was okay. He drove off, and so began my new life as a resident of Baptist Home for Children. I was in the presence of people who were happy to have the job of loving the unloved and bringing security to the insecure. I really wrestled with the feeling of this is where I should be, and feeling like they were just glorified trash collectors bringing in the trash. Now, do you remember me saying this was Baptist Home for Children? Yep, you got it. Church, church, and more church. I lived there for 5 years, and within that time grew to love and adore this man named Jesus that loved even a wretch like me. That's right, I'm a wretch filled with sin and had now been washed in the soul-cleansing blood of Jesus, my Savior. I had grown very accustomed to the thought that I was not good enough to just be loved for me, that I had to do a service, getting saved, in order for acceptance and love to flow. I was okay with that because this service that I had performed made me a shoe-in for my ultimate home called heaven. A place where there is no pain, no sorrow, pearly gates, gold streets, and a home built just for me. I guess that's why he was a carpenter. No one had ever sacrificed anything for me, let alone their life. Yep, Jesus was definitely worth my time, and my time was what he got, and plenty of it. Praying every day, check. Learning the God-inspired holy word, check. Being of service to others, check. Sunday school every week, check. Vacation Bible school every summer, check. And singing my praises and worship to him, check and check. That was my favorite. However, the more I got involved, the more I learned, the more questions I had. By one person, I was told that the answers to my questions would come in time. I was told by another that if I had enough faith, I wouldn't have all these questions. Okay, faith. Just accept it is what it is and it will be what it will be. Oh boy. Right back to change what you can change, accept the things you can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, got it. This went on for years, but the questions didn't go away. Why is God so big until he stands next to Jesus? Why is Jesus the only way to God when God is the Almighty Creator? Why does it take so much pain and sorrow, Jesus' crucifixion, to get to the ultimate goal, heaven? Why do I have to look a certain way to represent Christianity? No tattoos, natural hair color, no outrageous self-expression. Why did the omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent God create humans that were going to hell? Why would he allow free will to separate us from him? Why are there no answers to my questions? I figured the one person who would have these answers would be God himself. So my prayer life got a little more intense. Well, let's be honest, a lot more intense. Seek and ye shall find, they say. Okay, here goes. Now let's fast forward. I am now 22. I've been through college, I'm about to get married, and I have graced the doorsteps of many different religious institutions searching for the golden ticket. Well, it worked on Willy Wonka, why not for me? Within that year, my vows were said, and I gave birth to a beautiful baby boy. Did I mention I had him 3 months early? He came into this world at 2 pounds, 9 ounces, fighting for his life. What gives? I figured that I had already paid my penance and things would be smooth from here on out. Nope. Wrong again. After 11 weeks of my son proving how strong he was now ready to come home. Hallelujah! 5 months after having him home, the heart monitor was gone and he was now sleeping in the bassinet instead of on my chest. So my husband and I decided we would move from Florida to Colorado. This was frightening and exciting at the same time. Florida had given me bad juju and I was ready to leave it all behind. But why Colorado, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. I had kept in contact with a set of house parents from the home, and they moved to Colorado when Mikey, my son, was 6 months old. They had been a huge support system for me, getting out on my own, and continued to be that place that I could go to on Thanksgiving and Christmas and share my life with. They were my new family and weren't even paid to stay interested in me. They just were. They taught me what love was, and I was grateful. So now they're gone? Oh no, I'm not having that. So we followed. I was very grateful that my husband went along with the idea. I quit my job, we left our pretty home, and started our new adventure. When we got to Colorado, it really felt like a new beginning. We were introduced to the staff and owners of the new girls' home that my family now worked for. We decided to go to their church with them, and I loved it. See, the girls and staff all went to the same church. The church was like an extension of the home because they were both owned by the same people. This allowed me to start beautiful relationships with young girls going on a journey that I had already been on. I understood their fears, questions, and their language. 2 months after we got there, I was offered a job by the owner. Dorothy had recognized that I had something she wanted to give these girls. Someone who understood both sides of the coin. Someone to give them on this journey with a greater knowledge that only comes with experience. Yep, that's me. So here I was again. Choreless, high expectations, and church, church, church. I went with what I knew and continued to search for what I didn't. Answers to my forbidden questions. The season of this particular journey lasted for 4 years. In that time, I was completely blessed being a mom to many young girls. To this day, I still keep in contact with quite a few, and I am 44. In that 4 years, I found myself learning more about God and Jesus, but not growing closer to them because of my questions. Why wasn't my faith quenching the thirst I had, which would alleviate the need to have answers to my questions? This made me doubt my walk and the ability to get in touch with the Moses inside of me to lead the people to the promised land. From 1998 to 2000, my little family traveled back to Florida for a year, then back to Colorado for a year, and then back to Florida, where we stayed. My foster family traveled back with us the last time. We found a wonderful little church with down-home people. This felt so good. I became super involved because this is where I was truly happy. But I started to notice that my childhood had started to repeat itself. My marriage seemed better at church. We were a team and we were involved in any program we could get our hands onto. Our communication came easier. We were also involved in our own things as well. But the more involved I got, the more rules that had to be followed, and the higher the expectations came for perfection. My perfection. My husband and I were not truly happy in our own walls, and it seemed we needed more distractions, church, to continue adding numbers onto our goal of staying together forever. In 2003, I gave birth to a beautiful little girl. She really got me thinking, why isn't prayer fixing things? Why can't my husband and I truly be happy together? We know the Bible. We are at church all the time. We go through all the motions. Why isn't it changing things? Is this what I want to teach my daughter? Live a life where happiness is a struggle as long as you are following the letter of the law? No, that is not okay. So after 13 years of marriage, my husband and I parted ways, but continued in our partnership of being parents.